Let's talk about your self-storage team. My name's Mark Helm, and I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Quick Start Academy, which houses the on-demand self-storage boot camp. That's the premier training I offer that's designed to take you from wherever you are now all the way to putting your first or your next self-storage facility into service. You can find out more about it at Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage. Just click the store tab. But today I want to talk about your self-storage team. If you're putting a project together today, your team has never been more critical. Self-storage tends to attract a lot of lone wolves, people who want the freedom and independence that this business can offer. But I'm here to tell you, you can't do it without a village, or at least a team in this case. So I want to talk about what I think are the key team members, and maybe expand on a little past some of the ordinary ones you may think of. I have the good fortune of working with Smitty Smith, and we're putting together a new owner's rep and construction company specifically designed for small self-storage owners in the self-storage space. And I've worked with a lot of people over the past, and I've seen a lot of non-successful attempts to do a project or to get into the business, and often much of it is related to not having a good self-storage team. Your team is everything. Without good team members, you're not going to make it. So let's talk about what I think are some of the key players on your self-storage team. And first is your attorney. I've talked about this on other episodes, but your attorney is absolutely critical. And you may need more than one attorney. If you're syndicating deals, you may need a separate syndication attorney. In my case, we do smaller type syndications. So our attorney not only handles our contract negotiations, but helps with our syndications as well. You may need two. However, what I've discovered is it's critical and very important that your attorney knows your overall business strategy and where any particular deal may fall within your business strategy. That way they can counsel you best. I like attorneys who are good negotiators. If I need a litigator, I'll get a litigator. But I want an attorney who's a good negotiator, because often on the storage deals, it ends up being my attorney negotiating with their attorney at the end of the day on the final little lap around until we get an executed contract. If you're interviewing attorneys, tell a good attorney joke, and if that attorney doesn't laugh, then move on to the next one. Now, the next key player, at least for us, is the civil engineer. If you're doing any kind of construction, expansions, conversions, ground up, you got to have a civil engineer. Now, unlike most other asset types like apartments, houses, retail buildings, office buildings, we rely on our civil to actually run point on the approval process at the regulatory agencies. On all other asset classes, we're usually using an architect. But in this case, with storage, I tend to use the civil. Ideally, we want a civil engineer who has experience in storage and has relationships with the city planner or the people approving our project. Knows the personalities, knows the players, knows what's important to them. Your civil engineer is a key member of your self-storage team. Number three would be surveyor. You need a good surveyor. Often if I'm out of market, like I'm not in my hometown, I will rely on our civil to recommend a surveyor. But here's what you need. You usually need a survey. You need a topo survey, topographical survey, and sometimes you're even going to need minor plats or as-built surveys. We usually get a stake survey on every project we do, and it's often an overlooked team member, but a good surveyor is very important. And then comes environmental. Many people don't relate to environmental like a team member. But in our business, at least in my business, they're a very important team member. Most of the deals I syndicate, so I want to really make sure I dot every I and cross every T and cover my tail. So I always get an environmental. Now, some people have the I don't want to know attitude. If there's a problem on the site, I don't want to know about it, especially if you're a seller, and that could be a valid strategy. I want to know if there's a problem on the site, hopefully before I take title to it, but I want to have make sure that I have a current environmental report when I close on the deal so that I've got a layer of protection between me, my partners, my investors, my bank. Now, one way you may want to like cover your tail is to, if you get a phase one environmental, be sure to let, and you don't know who that company is, be sure to let them know that if there's a phase two recommendation, some other company is going to be doing the phase two. That could alleviate any considerations you may have that the environmental company is going to be finding problems just to get extra fees and to be able to do a phase two where they actually test soil. Next is the architect. Now, in our construction business and owner's rep business, we are usually dealing with small investors like myself. Now, again, I let the engineers kind of lead the approval process, but you got to have an architect. But we try to keep our architectural fees very low. We lean heavily on our fabricators to create plans, usually concrete specs. We get initial layouts. I will get my initial layout, run it by the engineer. Well, the engineer is going to tweak the layout of it. And then once the fabricator creates the building plans, we'll give it to the architect to put in and the trades so they can put in the other MEP, life safety, all of the other things that go in it. I've seen small investors in 30 to 50,000 square foot projects spend over $100,000 on architect and engineering just to get the biddable plans. Probably $60,000 is the average. We spend a lot less than that, and that's because we rely a lot on what the fabricators can provide us. Not in every case, but in most every case. Now, if I'm doing a large project, a multi-story shadow casting, 120,000 square foot, five-story building, you bet your tail I'm going to have some powerful architects involved, and I'll be paying a lot of architectural and engineering fees. But especially in today's world, with construction costs being the way they are, we really want to keep our architectural fees as low as possible. And fortunately, in the storage business, we can do that with a lot of services fabricators offer us. We will rely often on the architects to create renderings for the approval process, guide us a little bit on colors and office layout, and then ultimately they will take the building plans from the fabricator, and rather than create those plans. Very often when they've created the plans, the fabricators end up having to either make field adjustments or two, adjust the plans themselves before they're sent for approval. This keeps all that down to a minimum. Next is the project manager. Now, an on-site project manager is a critical element. Most small investors don't have the funds, or the project won't be profitable, and they wouldn't be able to even come out of the gate if they had to pay a construction manager along with a GC. So in our construction company, our on-site project managers during the construction phase are heavily vetted and know about the storage business, know how to organize and work with subs, and know how to be able to see if there's a problem a GC is doing before it becomes an expensive problem. But also, before you get to the construction phase, having a coach or someone, owner's rep, kind of guide you through the process of getting to biddable plans can make a huge difference. I've seen a lot of money spent that didn't necessarily have to be spent to get to biddable plans, and all of a sudden the budget's like way out of whack. So having a good project manager who knows how to deal, if you're a small investor, a good project manager who knows how to value engineer projects is a key member of the team. City planners. Now, most people don't relate to the city planners like a team member. Well, the city planner is the gatekeeper of your project. So I suggest you relate to them like a team member. Sometimes easier said than done. Having a good working relationship with open, clear communication isn't always easy. Very often these are salaried people, overworked, underpaid, and they have no real incentive to move your project along anywhere near the speed that we would like to see it done. They've got other criteria that's on their plate. What I find important is, if possible, to kind of find out what that other criteria is and know about it. It's not always easy to find out. I've seen some people hire consultants, especially in big markets where there's a lot of projects of all types going through the approval process. Having a consultant that knows the players as well as your civil engineer can make a big difference. But most of the time it's us or our project managers dealing with the city planners. Regardless of your thoughts about this part of the process or the people that may be involved in approving your storage project, they're the gatekeepers, and we've got to move through them and satisfy their needs and their goals to get our project approved. So for me, I relate to them like one of our team members and communicate with them thusly. The next key member, 8, is your lender. Now, I used to relate to banks and loans like a one-time event that happened at closing. Just give me the money so I can close. Almost like a snapshot in time. Their role ends when we close on the deal. Then I got in the self-storage business and I started doing self-storage construction. And I realized that that was just the beginning of my relationship with the lenders. Rather than just a snapshot, now it's like a movie. It's an ongoing, evolving relationship. I finally realized that lenders are partners that just happen to be vendors. They usually have the most money in my projects, and it helps for me to relate to them like partners, not just so I can get the next loan, but so each deal that they're in can go smoothly. Also, if I have a good partner relationship with my bank, with open communication, and we've got a pivot, something happens, it'll sure go a long way to maybe helping them pivot with me. I've had to pivot on a few deals. Some banks have worked with me, some banks I had to leave. And it just took longer and was more expensive to do that. I've also used large national banks, heavily regulated banks. And during the draw process, that was very burdensome sometimes. So picking, money, we relate to banks like a commodity. Money's the commodity. Banks aren't. So your bank, your lender is going to be your partner. So pick a good partner, pick a good lender like you would be picking a partner. And finally, the last key member that I think is important is your partners and your investors. Unless you're the only owner in a project, most people I know have partners and investors. There's no way I would have been in the self-storage business without them. Keeping people informed every step of the way, I've discovered the hard way, because I'm really discovering I'm not that great a communicator. Keeping people updated and involved and current on what's going on is critical. You cannot over-communicate. Just try to over-communicate to an investor or a partner who's not actively involved in the day-to-day decisions. You just can't do it. So these are really key team members that can add to the value of the project and add to the value of your life, or really be a time drain if you don't manage it correctly. I've done it both ways, and believe me, staying in open, clear, constant communication makes a difference. Now, without these key team members, many of us would not even be able to be in the storage business. So, especially if this is your first project, put a lot of thought into who your team members are going to be and how you're going to be interacting with them. My goal in this episode was to expand your concept and your thinking about who your team members are. As we get this owner's rep portion of our business really in full swing, and we're working with a number of people now, what I've discovered is often we're stepping in once teams have been formed and we're having to work with the current team members. Really put some thought into your team members, or get with a coach, a consultant, someone like us if you're kind of new out of the gate, and don't just hire the first engineer or the first architect that comes down the pike. And as you're doing your first or your next self-storage project, keep all of these team members in mind as you're putting your team together. If you'd like to find out more about any services our company offers, there'll be an email in the text if you're watching this, if you're seeing this or reading this on Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, or in the comments, there'll be my email in the YouTube channel, or you can just reach out to me at mark@helmproperties.com. But put a lot of thought into your self-storage team. That enhances your success at getting in this fantastic business of self-storage. Thank you, and I look forward to being with you next week.